Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation about the Walter E. Fernald Developmental Center and its spirits with paranormal investigator Nick Graves.
Do you feel there's negative entities that are lingering around this facility? And I'm not trying to go all demonic on us here, but you know, when you have places like this, sometimes these are the locations where you can literally go, yeah, there's probably something kind of dark hanging out here. Maybe not the only thing, but do you feel like there's that here at the campus in some of these buildings?
Yes, I feel there is a strong combination of both. There are many dark spirits, but there are also a lot of like jubilant, really happy, upbeat spirits there as well that we've interacted with and that honestly make you feel like, you know, you're just having fun like with these spirits. But then there are definitely very, very, very dark spirits that we have and entities that we've experienced at this location. I don't know if maybe, like you said, it would be like something demonic or maybe elemental or something. Mm-hmm. But then I also think about, you know, people that were staff or, you know, patients, you know, that were doing cruel and vile things to other people that were there. You know, there's even reported cases of like janitorial staff and whatnot, you know, molesting some of the children and stuff like that. So like, I definitely believe that there is dark or, you know, not so good energy there. Mm-hmm. But for the dark energy that's there, there's also equally as good energy. So it's like one of those places that's, it's all around intriguing, like all around. I mean,
it's balanced almost. I mean, not that negative is good, but there's good and there's bad. And it's almost like the real world, the living world, where there's good and there's bad.
Absolutely. Yep. And you can tell for the most part, like what you're in the presence of as well. You can kind of tell like from the vibes, like, you know, what are you interacting with right now? It's like, oh, okay, well, this spirit that we're talking to right now definitely doesn't feel like a child, you know, it doesn't feel like a happy go lucky child. We're definitely dealing with something kind of miserable, you know, but then there's other times where you're like, wow, I feel like I'm just in a room full of little kids and they're happy and playing and stuff, yeah. You know, and you know, you'll hear laughter and stuff come through the spirit boxes and things of that nature. And that's really cool.
Let me ask you this. With a location like this that had a lot of children at it, that had disabilities, were troubled, and society said, you're too much for us to handle, so we're going to put you here. You wouldn't necessarily always have a bunch of happy children go lucky playing and laughing. You'd have miserable children who were suffering because they were being mistreated, and they had their own demons. And I'm not trying to make a pun here, but they, you know, they had their own things that they were dealing with mentally and suffering through. Is it possible, and how common is it when you're in a place like this to confuse what would simply be a child that is suffering from a disability of some sort, that still is seemingly suffering from whatever plagued them in life, with a negative entity where someone who is troubled, confused, you know, maybe acting not necessarily like just your average kid, but maybe is a little more aggressive, is a little more you know, out there trying to interact with you, but it feels a little bit unsettling. Do you ever get that in this location where you think, is this something negative, or is this just a confused child that's still suffering on the other side?
That's honestly a really, really terrific question. And honestly, that brings a lot of like questions to mind. That's something that I'm definitely gonna have to, I'm gonna have to keep in mind when I approach this location next time. With that being said, you know, with Brad there, that's kind of one thing that I kind of look to him to, because he's much more empathetic. He's, you know, I've got some of like the empath, you know, abilities where I can kind of feel things in a room. But he's really, you know, tuned into these types of things. And a lot of times, like, you know, if he picks up on a child spirit that, you know, bad things did happen to, he'll really get choked up and uncomfortable, and he'll need honestly like a minute, you know, to just kind of go sort things out with himself and whatnot, because it really does affect him. So like, I kind of look to him for those types of things. Mm-hmm. But as far as what you're bringing my attention, I mean, there's really no way for me to 100% tell. So that's kind of something that I'm going to have to really keep in the back of my mind, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you know, to a certain extent, you know, you're kind of blindfolded, you know, you go in there and you don't necessarily know what is around you. So, you know, but either could almost have the characteristics of either or, but obviously one has an ill intent and one is just more of a confused intent, because of what they're going through. This is an interesting question, and it's one that could probably be kind of heartbreaking depending on what the thought is on it. Do you believe that the spirits of the children that are residing there, that you have had interactions with on the other side, are they still suffering from what they suffered from in life? I know the happy-go-lucky version of this is, when we're dead, all of our troubles go away and anything that we suffered from is gone. I don't know that that's always the case. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, man, that's also a very, very, very tough question. I really think it depends on so many variables, you know, kind of, I guess, the mentality of the person, I guess, going into the afterlife. I mean, how much baggage you have, like how much you know, let weigh on your own mind, your own conscience. Mm-hmm. I can't really definitively say, because no one really 100% knows. Definitely not me.
And no one can, but I'm just asking, you know, the experiences that you've had with the spirits, children that are there and things of that nature, what would your opinion be? Has there been evidence that these kids, if they were disabled in some way, shape or form, on the other side, are they still? And this is just an opinion question. It's not, no one knows the factual answer. I'm just curious as to what you've seen from your studies and research.
My guess is yes.
Okay.
That they still do tend to carry these qualities over. I don't know. It's hard to say that it would be residual, because I've had intelligent responses from one individual in particular in one of the rooms in like one of the housing units. And in the voice, you could definitely hear like an impediment, mm-hmm. like there was an impediment in his speech.
Sure.
But there were very clear responses coming through from this individual just with an impediment. So it kind of, in that moment, even I said to them, I was like, wow, like you hear that? It's like, I believe they kind of carry these traits on into the afterlife. Which is kind of strange. You see kind of like a mixture almost, like, you know, some spirits seem to be so much more happy and free in the afterlife, but then you also see the spirits that seem to like still be replaying through these tortured moments. And it's really difficult. It's like, are these intelligent spirits that are still being tortured, or is it residual? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many like questions. Every time I get like, I feel like I'm close to an answer, I just realize that I'm closer to like 100 more questions.
And then you come on my show and I give you 50 more. Tell me about that interaction that you had. Give me that story.
It was actually myself, Brad, John Huntington from the Conjuring House, and this girl we know, Dakota, who is very sensitive. She's out of this world. She's got a very good connection. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were sitting in this room, just all of us together. It was like up on like the third or fourth floor of this big, huge building. you know, like thousands of rooms in it. And we're just sitting there kind of, you know, anybody's here would like to talk to us, you know. And then I forget exactly what was said, but it was just kind of, you know, just basically kind of like saying, hi, I'm here, you know, like getting our attention. And I just kind of at that moment even kind of noticed that like the voice sounded like a little bit off, you know, it kind of sounded like there was an impediment. And then we kept trying to talk to that spirit and he kept coming through and we were like joking, like literally like joking with this spirit, like back and forth, you know, just cracking jokes and stuff and getting joke responses back. And it had kind of almost as though like the person was like partially deaf, not 100% deaf, but like partially deaf. Mm-hmm. Like if you've ever heard someone that talks with that, like kind of, you know, that kind of like bass tone to their voice.
Yeah.
Because you 100% hear all the vowels and stuff being enunciated. It had that tone to this person's voice and it was a male voice. And he just kept coming back and forth. I think we actually have that on camera as well. I almost 100% assume that we do, probably like three or four angles. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were getting the intelligent responses from someone that sounded like they had an impediment. So it really opened that in my mind where I like for the first time, I'm like sitting here actually thinking like, well, do these things that like plague us in our human condition, do they continue on into the afterlife?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just something that the person actually became so accustomed to and so comfortable with that they chose to carry on like that in the afterlife because it's what they knew and they were comfortable with it. Like these are all things that started to come to my mind and I'm asking myself now.
And on that same note of when you get into the afterlife, the questions of why does this continue? Why does that not continue? For a location like this that has a very dark history to it, lawsuits still to this day. And this is just an opinion-based question, and I just want to hear what your opinion is on it. Why would conscious spirits, I'm not talking about the residuals, but conscious spirits still choose to reside there? Or do they not have a choice?
See, that's another thing, yep, that I find myself asking. It's like, if you are an intelligent spirit, why of all places would you choose to be here? And I'm wondering if it's maybe like an energy thing. Like people say that you constantly are imprinting your energy into anything and anywhere that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because they spent so much time in that place and expelled so much energy into that location that now it's kind of where they're stuck, they're tied to, because they have like this anchor essentially there, this energy anchor.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just kind of one of the theories that I've come up with as far as that goes. But I couldn't understand why they would actually choose to stay at one of these places. I mean, I try to think of all these reasons, like maybe there's this that kept them there, that they wanted to be there because of this person or something. But at the end of the day, like, why would you choose to be somewhere that tormented you in life? It's just such a crazy question.
You know, we look at those questions and we look at it from this angle when we're talking about asylums, facilities of this nature, and from, you know, 10,000 feet up, it's very easy for us to go and say, well, this, why would you do that? But the thing is, you have to look at life in general. And people who are not committed into a facility, even just your average, you know, walk down the road and, you know, so many out of so many relationships in a what seemingly would be normal household, people sit there forever in abusive relationships and they don't leave. Because it's a sense of familiarity. It's a sense, and you end up developing your own complexes of, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe I need to stay. Maybe I don't have a choice. All of that. And we can look at that from afar and go, why would they stay there? But then you start to dive into that world and understand where their mindset comes from and why their mindset is where it is because of the abuse and such and how insidious that can be. I wonder if it's that sort of a complex that still holds with people in the afterlife, similar to an abusive relationship, but except the abuser is not the spouse or something of that nature. It's the facility that they are in. and maybe they still have that pull to it where it's so difficult for them to get out of that because they feel that there's no other choice.
Yeah, and it's also kind of like the nagging in the back of your mind of it's bad now, but what if it's worse on the other side? You know, what if I lead this situation into a worse one? That's a really, really good theory on that.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you have abusive situations and things of that nature, most of the time people who are being abused have no idea they're being abused, especially when it comes to like mental abuse and things of that nature. I mean, physical, a little more obvious. Even then, sometimes people, they don't connect the dots on it because our minds are fucked up that way. and they allow us to do that to ourselves. But mental abuse is even more of a tricky road to go down. With this location, kind of as we wrap things up here, what are we looking at here? The status of the campus today, and what does the future hold for it? And you probably don't necessarily have a definitive answer because I know you don't own the facility. But tell me, like, what do you see happening here? Where is it at right now? And what do you think is going to happen with it?
Right now it's abandoned. It's still in like turmoil. They're still fighting legal battles. Like to this day, it's mm-hmm. insane. The city, the state, owns it. They actually set up a Christmas light display through Fernald, which was so freaking creepy.
Happy holidays.
yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so creepy. And the town, obviously, the citizens, they fought it. They thought it was really distasteful because, you know, people that were housed there weren't even allowed to go see their families for the holidays.
Yeah.
So, they're still going through a lot of stuff. I mean, I hope the end road, which I know the end road is usually the place gets torn down and stuff. And, you know, it's another location wiped off the map. But, man, I hope I hit the lottery,
Yeah.
Buy that place up and I'll let everybody come check it out.
Yeah. I mean, these locations, some sit forever, some don't. Some get turned into, luxury apartment livings.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. How luxury is that?
But it happens, it happens all the time. And it's shocking. And it's, I don't know how one does it. I like walking around and look. There's one up in Traverse City in Michigan that it was a Traverse City State Hospital. And it's mainly like living facilities for seniors. But then there's some gourmet restaurants and shopping and all that. And it's just like, oh, look, you can see where they had people shackled to the walls. This was, yes, let me have that foie gras. That'd be great. But no, it's fascinating. I find these locations extremely fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's history that honestly they would really like to have people as soon forget. But it's really stuff that we should keep in our minds and know that, like, these things happen. It is possible for humans to have these tendencies, and it's things that we need to avoid going forward in the future. You know, these places need to be preserved, and especially for the investigations and for just the science of it. You know, there's so many answers out there that need to be found, so many questions that need answers. You know, it's just, I feel like, you know, the next phase in human life should be trying to find those answers instead of, you know, worrying about such trivial things.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Nick about Fernald. A big thank you for your support of the programming, helping to keep us on the air. We cannot exist without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for the support and thank you for listening.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.